Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, everyone. So today we've got something a bit different because we wanted to share another podcast that we think you'll love. It's called Go Love Yourself. And in a few minutes, an episode with our very own lovely Alex will play for you.
It's hosted by Laura Adlington, who was on Bake Off and who I bloody love, and her best friend, Lauren. They're both so lovely and so funny. And I had honestly like the best time doing this episode with them. The show is all about learning to love the skin you're in and just giving less fucks about what other people think.
They've done episodes about dating in a bigger body, intuitive movement, self-pleasure, intimacy, wearing bikinis for the first time, and so much more. And they've spoken to guests like our lovely Alex, Tally Ray, Carrie Hope Fletcher, Dr. Joshua Woolrich, and Stephanie Yeboah.
So, if you love this episode as much as we do and want to check out some more of their episodes, just search for Go Love Yourself in your favourite podcast app.
Right, we need to stop talking so they can listen to the episode, but we'll be back next Monday with another new episode.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Before we start, we just want to pop a quick trigger warning here. Today we're going to be touching on eating disorders. So if you are struggling with an eating disorder at the moment and you're in the UK, the Beat Eating Disorders charity has a hotline. The number is 0808 801 0677. Or you can visit the website beateatingdisorders.org.uk. We'll put all the info in the episode description.
Welcome to Go Love Yourself, brought to you by Simply Be, fashion fit for everybody.
Oh dear, I don't even know where I'm starting actually, hang on, sorry.
It's that TikTok, I got three looks and that's it.
A homeless man, a 12-year-old boy and a hooker.
Right, Lauren, it's been a few weeks since the dreaded Valentine's, but it's also been a few weeks since we got an update on your dating journey. In one line, tell me how it's going. You can even sing it if you want to, I don't mind.
So I did plan a little something.
Are you serious?
No, absolutely not. Oh. So I can't be that quick. I was like, should I be like, I had a date. It was okay.
No, it wasn't great. At least make it rhyme. Come on. It was
Hold on.
You.
That's not where the rhyme is, Laura Adlington. Thank you very much. So hold on. I had a date. It was okay. Until he said the words, gay little latte. Sorry, you lost me. He said the words, oh, I do like a gay little latte.
Oh my God, he did not. I thought you were making that up and I was like, Lauren, who are you? What are you saying?
He said it twice. No, exactly. He said it
twice.
Oh no,
we don't do that.
Anyway, so yes, I did go on a first date with a human man. Woo!
The silence says it all. And how did it go? Tell everyone.
So it was fine. So I spoke to you beforehand.
Fine. That's great. That's really what we're aiming for, isn't it? It's fine. Fine.
It was fine. I spoke to you, I think, literally beforehand, during and after. And I was like, and we basically determined that the first date was not about whoever that guy was. It was not about him. It was about me having my first date for like 2 years. And I got all ready and I wore something that I felt comfortable in and all the stuff. And it was fine. He wasn't as tall as he said, let me just tell you. Not as tall as he said. It was fine. He is not the one. And I've sent him the general text that my friends and me have created at the weekend. of a, it was really nice to meet you, but I didn't feel a spark. Good luck in all your endeavours. That kind of text.
Please tell me you did not use the word endeavours.
I might change it to say that.
Wow.
So it was okay, but he said a couple of things in the date that just gave me instant ick.
Yeah,
and I've just got, like, that what I said, I've just got no time for people that think like that. And that, it was that, and it was something else which I won't say.
Yeah, we don't really go in for that, do we? Immediate red flag. Well done you for going. I'm so proud of you. It took a lot of courage to kind of put yourself out there and go back dating again. So well done. Like you said, it wasn't really about him, it was about you. So yeah, well done for getting back on the horse, and I look forward to hearing about the next one.
Getting back on the horse. Yeah, me too, mate. But thank you for being my wing woman, my fangirl. I think I really needed it because I was so nervous.
Oh, bless you.
You sent me nice things, so I love you
too.
So I absolutely adore today's guest. She's so lovely. And she even had me on her podcast recently, The Light Show.
Are you cheating on us? with another podcast, how dare you? It's all right, because as it goes, I love her as well.
So you.
I do.
So on today's show, we want to talk a lot about body confidence and also diet culture. So who better to talk to than influencer Alex Light? You might have seen her post on Instagram. She posts some amazing content. We are so excited to have her on. So welcome, Alex. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm really good. I'm so happy to be here.
We're so happy you're here.
Yeah, we were so excited to have you. We love your Instagram. We love everything you're about. So yeah, thank you for joining us.
This is the second time seeing you in a month, isn't it?
I know, because I was on your podcast, The Light Show. We did a live podcast recording. It was so much fun, wasn't
so
it?
So good. I had such a nice day. It was brilliant.
I enjoyed
brilliant.
That. It was great.
I was sad when it was over. I was like, I want to do that again. It was really good.
We got gifts and everything as
well. I know.
I haven't got anything for you today. Sorry.
Not even
Come
a cake.
On.
Not
Seriously?
Even a cake.
It's like a lollipop or something. Come on.
I'm did a good job. Lollipop.
I've got some chewing gum from the tube on my shoe, if you want that. Never mind. Moving on.
Okay, so to start off, we have a favourite saying on this show.
Basically, it's that we think that the way you look is the least interesting thing about you.
So we ask everyone, what is the most interesting thing about you, or one of the most interesting things about you?
So you just landed this on me like about 1 minute before we started recording, and I'm like, what is the most interesting thing
it's
about
such a
me?
Hard question.
It's a really hard question, because I guess it depends, like, who's trivial things, like I've got a dog who incessantly humps me, and she's a girl. She's a girl dog.
Go get it, girl. Love her.
Wants to hunt me like 24/7. I'm sure you've seen it on
Instagram.
She's
like the dog from Sex and the City that just humps all the pillows.
Yes, except
good. Go get
she's a girl, and just no one really knows why. But, and it's no one else, just me. So that's fun. I've got four sisters. I suppose that's quite interesting.
Yeah. Four sisters?
Yeah,
four younger sisters. That is so much energy.
I know. My WhatsApp never stops. And it's always like, oh, she's done this to me and she's done that to me.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, will you sort this out? Will you sort that out? And we can tell her she's being this now. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm saying that, but like I fully get involved in the drama as well. And most of the time it's me like, Jen, Catherine said this to me.
Is there a really good name for the WhatsApp sister chat? Or is it just sisters?
It's brats. It's brats. Yeah.
Nice.
Which I
so
think,
much time
yeah.
For that.
Yeah.
I love that. We have got one, haven't we? With Stacey. It was called Baron Karens, which I quite like.
Oh my God, love that. Love that.
Your content has evolved so much over the years. And I think you started off, didn't you, in kind of like beauty and fashion. And I know you obviously still love all of that. But like, talk to us about how that's evolved. Because I know that, you know, we love how passionate you are about all the kind of like anti-diet culture and stuff. So tell us a bit about that transition, if you can.
Definitely. So, do you know what? I always try and find a way to make this more streamlined, this like story, but I feel like it's convoluted. And I think a lot of that is because like a lot of it is mixed up with eating disorders, and I was in a bit of a blur, and that time just feels like a big like black hole. But I will try and do my best. So I was a journalist, fashion and beauty journalist, and I was going through an eating disorder at the same time. When I started to make real progress, what I was doing on Instagram started to feel really at odds with what I was learning about diet culture, about, you know, living in this world that tells us we need to be thin that actually isn't true, like we don't need to be any size. So what I was doing, because I was uploading pictures on Instagram that were like edited, I would like knit my waist in, And at some point I started to realise, like, this is jarring with me now. This isn't right. And I'm not enjoying doing this. And it's so not representative of what is going on behind the scenes, which is like the depths of an eating disorder. So I just like literally randomly made the decision, like, I'm just going to shift it and I'm just going to talk about this, which was weird because I hadn't told anyone. I was so secretive about, I mean, people knew around me, but I'd never openly discussed my eating disorder.
What was it like posting that first post then?
Terrifying.
It must have been.
But it was like, the response was amazing.
That's so good.
And it's just has made me realize that there is so much power in letting go of a secret and in letting go of shame, like, so much power in it, because I was really ashamed. And I think there is a lot of stigma around eating disorders still. And I was just, I just felt a lot of shame around it. And like letting that secret go, although terrifying, was one of the best things that I did. And also, like, so many people, there are so many more people than you realize going through both eating disorders, but also disordered eating and body image struggles. There's just so many people, but there's this taboo around it. We're not supposed to talk about it.
How insane is that? Like, still there's the taboo around it. But you're so right. If you're sharing the secret, problem shared is a problem halved. And most people, especially listening to this podcast, will be going through the same thing.
Every woman has hang-ups, I'm sure. And that have been, that diet culture stuff has been ingrained in us. And, you know, we talk a lot about that kind of that 90s rhetoric of, like, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. And it's so dangerous. And like Bridget Jones, who was like, what was it? Nine and a half stone.
Living in zone one.
Yeah,
living
with a great job. Yeah. And yet she was considered fat.
So
sick. Having a lovely time with Colin Firth, can I just say?
Yeah,
like,
I'll have a bit of that, please.
The dream.
Okay, by Hollywood standards, like, they're not slim, but in the it's just crazy.
Like the Jessica Simpson thing from, you know, we all know, got that image of her in those, like, high-waisted trousers. And it's just like, have a word. And you look at them now, like, I can't.
Yes, she is so slim.
And the issues that would have given her, but the issues that would have given all of us, because even when I was slimmer, I still didn't look like that. Mm. So I thought I had to look like that to be attractive. But she was called fat. Oh, it's just an absolute
mess. And the vast majority of women will have been bigger than her than she looked at that time. The vast majority of women. But it just goes to show, like, if it's coming at you from all angles, like, look at this, this is fat and fat is ugly. Mm. That's what you end up internalizing. Yeah. But yeah, at least, like, now we can look back without that lens of diet culture and realize that she was just like slim woman, like, just performing on stage, and yet there's this, like, global outrage. How dare she, crazy, you know, not look like her Daisy Duke days?
Which
she's talked about how that was, like, disordered eating. She had something going on there, so it just goes to show.
Yeah, she was celebrated, and a lot of people find that when, like, they lose weight, and often it's through things, like, it could be an eating disorder, it could be through, like, heartache or you know, they're grieving, and people be like, "You look amazing." It's like I remember at the lowest point of my life, going through the worst breakup ever, like, anxiety levels through the roof, and everyone was like, "You look great." And I remember my nan said to me, sorry, Nan, but she looked at me up and down and she went, "All I'll say is about time." I love my nan. Like, I love her, adore her. But, like, fuck
crushing.
Off. and it just reinforces that whole, like, thin equals beautiful and, like, fat is ugly, and it's just bollocks.
It is. It's just absolute bollocks, isn't it? Yeah. I know. It's going back to Jessica Simpson. I love her. She wrote in her book, actually, that she said when she was in Daisy Dukes or whatever that film was called, she said she created like a gold standard Jessica that everyone then held every other standard of her up to.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of like what you're saying when you lose weight and people are obsessed with how you look and congratulating you and praising you, like, this is the best thing ever. In your head, that's it solidified then. That's your gold standard, you know, that's the gold standard you. And anything, you know, you put on weight and people get quiet about how you look, right?
That's so true.
And then you know that you're never at your, you know, your goal. And I'm saying this with, like, huge air quotes because it's not true, but, like, that's how it feels. It's all the, like, the positive reinforcement, and it's really, it's so toxic.
Massively, yeah. It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think it's like, I mean, I've certainly seen a shift with people like you, and I don't want to play smoke up your ass, but genuinely, accounts like yours have really helped people, like, so many people, like myself included, like, accept them. Like, it's helped me accept myself, like, full stop.
Thank you. That's so nice.
And
to
I
hear.
Love your content, genuinely. You know this.
Oh, that's so nice.
Do you think it's changed? Do you think there's been a shift against diet culture? Like, have you seen it improve? Do you think there's still, like, more to be done?
I think that it's a lot less overt. and blatant nowadays. I think it's much more subtle and maybe like wrapped up in, you know, like wearing a different like costume, you know, in the guise of like well-being or like wellness. Yeah. So I think it's definitely morphed, but it's still very much there. And there is still a lot to unpack. But I do think that we're making steps, albeit small steps.
I think it's more like the internalized fat phobia, I think, is the bigger challenge. Like personally, that's yes. how I see it. I don't yeah. know what you think.
Yeah, we've made strides. Yeah. And I think people, you know, curating their Instagram feeds with stuff like yours or anything that makes them feel positive is also helping that as well. So although the horrible stuff is still happening, you can choose whether to engage with that content or not.
And it's like identifying like genuinely for you, not like, oh, I should follow this person because they like them. You know, it's like, does this person actually make me feel good? They don't have to,
yeah.
You know, a lot of girls say to me, like, I'm just don't like your content. Like, it doesn't make me feel good. And I'm like,
that's fine.
That's good that you know that yeah. and you've worked that out and you're creating that boundary. And just, yeah, you just got to work out what's right for you and how you can make your space both online and offline, like as positive as possible.
And how has your life changed like since like your like ED recovery, would you say?
Genuinely, I can't put it into words.
Really?
Your face yeah. lit up when you said that. Yeah, so yeah, it really nice.
Yeah, it was like, it was just absolute hell. Mm. And it was a long time of like a disordered eating before it sort of devolved into an eating disorder as well. Like I dieted we probably all have, like everyone's dieted from like such a young age, probably like the age of 12. And I just never came off a diet. And then eventually it went into an eating disorder. I had never had a good relationship with food. I'd never been able to just eat without it either being some form of like restriction or binging or purging or yeah, it was just like it got to a point where I really didn't have a social life. Like I was barely functioning at work. I was barely functioning in my own life. And it's just like and don't get me wrong, it did not happen overnight. And I do want everyone to know that because I feel like there's too much of that narrative, like, oh, it gets help and gets better. Yeah. But that wasn't the case. Like it did take a while, but I can't even just tell you how like liberating, I think is the word, like just liberating. Like I feel like I've got like my life back.
That's you so genuinely good. Feel like you seem like you're really at peace now, like with your body. Like, would you think that's, you know, fair to say?
Yeah, I really do. I really do. And like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there'll always be like, you know, I'll always have some, like the wedding I found quite triggering.
Did you?
Yeah, because there was just a lot of chatter around it and how I should look. And, you know, my dress experience was wonderful. Like the second time around, it was brilliant. But, you know, and this is as a straight size person, and they barely had anything for me, and they certainly didn't have the dress that I wanted to try on. And
all of the samples are a size 14, which means they're actually a 10 because some twat at, I don't know, bridal headquarters.
Some man
decided to make bridal dresses two sizes smaller than they are. Like, great idea. On the best, women's supposed to be the happiest of their life. Let's make them feel really shit about themselves.
But why do they do that?
I don't know.
It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. So I had to try on like a kind of held a dress to me, and then it didn't fit. And then I was like, okay, well, I think I like it. Cool. Like, here's all my money.
Oh,
and they're not cheap.
That.
And then I tried it on, and my mum took one look at me and she was like, you don't like it, do you? I was like, fucking hate it.
Of course you didn't. How can you hold a dress to you? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. But there's a lot to be done.
You mentioned that, like, you might, like, open something bridal, didn't you? And I was like, you should so do that.
Plus size bridal. I follow, there's a couple in America that I follow on TikTok. And it just makes me so happy because the plus size dresses, and they're so beautiful, and the girls are just looking like their best. Oh, it's so good.
Does that not exist here at all?
I think there might be some, but not probably to the same extent. There
get
we go.
On it.
Get on it.
There's a gap in the market. You've got to fill it. Do
That's
it.
My New Year goal.
Okay.
Oh my God, okay. Obsessed. Cover me in, please.
Yeah.
But yeah, with going back to the wedding stuff, like, did you find like people were kind of assumed that you would lose weight for the wedding? Or like, is that what happened?
Oh my God.
Hashtag
shredding for the wedding is still a thing.
It is. Like, I was doing some research for an article I was writing about it, and there are like millions of results on like how to lose weight for your wedding and like how to lose weight in 7 days. And even like, I don't want to like give anyone ideas or trigger anyone, but like it was even like how to you know what bodybuilders do to make them dehydrated so they look like ripped on the day. There was even like advice on how to do that for your wedding day so that you're like, you've got no water basically in your body.
Sounds healthy. Like,
I know, you just feel like slowly like dying on your wedding day. It was just
I feel sad. That's so sad. But doesn't that, dangerous.
And it just goes to show like people would rather look thin on their wedding day than be healthy and like feeling their best. You know, like it's that's the goal is to look thin.
But on your wedding day, and I say this, I've been to two of my friends got married and they are probably more plus size than straight size. And let me tell you, the smiles on their faces, despite the fact they didn't get to their inverted commas goal weight, was just like literally I can't, it was so lovely. Did you think about that on your wedding day at all? Like
it never,
I wish I was a size smaller.
Never like, once crossed my mind because I got a dress that I loved that, that really
so good.
Suited stunning, me yeah. and it, like it yeah. suit it just it felt so good on me. It never once crossed my mind.
There we go.
To be honest, once I went to the second and got the second dress, like never crossed my mind again. Good. It was just it was more like, you know, when you've got a dress that you don't feel good in and then you start picking yourself apart a bit and like, what, you know, why doesn't this look nice anyway? So
exactly. Again, this goes back to our point of like, you know, the happiness doesn't lie in a smaller size. Like, you know, being slimmer does not necessarily mean you're going to be happier or more confident.
No. I mean, get your get the dress that makes you feel amazing.
Oh my God, like, hell yes.
Go to great lengths to do that. Yeah. But don't go to great lengths to like make your body fit into a random dress. Yeah. Like just find the dress that looks like so good on you.
And you're
like,
fit you.
Right.
And same with your wedding dress. Like, yeah. It should fit you. Yeah.
Yeah. And you should put it on and be like, huh. You have to put it on and be like, this is the one. Like, I hate that because that's so much pressure. But if you can put it on and be like, oh my God, I feel really good in this. Like, this is great. Anyway, sorry, this wasn't like a bridal episode, was it?
You are really into your fashion as well.
Yeah, like, I do love your fashion. Yeah.
How's your like, how would you say your style has evolved? Like,
so we were talking about this the other week, weren't we? When you were on my podcast and I was saying that I actually only recently have started exploring whether my style, like what I think I like, is actually because I like it or whether it's because it made me look thin. Because so from the earliest age, like I was taught to, we're all taught to, you know.
Wear something flattering.
Oh. Black is slimming. Like wear clothes that like flatter your shape and just make you look thinner because flattering
be goal,
is
yeah.
synonymous with thinner, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So... It kind of just dawned on me, like, do I actually like these things? Or is it because they make me, I think they make me look slimmer. So I feel like I'm still going through that kind of journey. And I think it is actually because I quite like an androgynous look.
Yeah.
I'm either like super androgynous or like heels and a dress. There's no like in between.
I've got three looks and that's it. Yeah,
literally.
Homeless man, 12-year-old boy.
It's and hooker.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to say that, but that's literally my vibe. Yeah.
So we were chatting with our sponsors actually, Simply Be, and we were chatting with them about language and how important it is. And even they were saying about how they're really kind of steering away and veering away from that term flattering. So a lot of comments I get on like, my Instagram, if I post something, will be like, oh, that's really flattering on you.
Right.
And obviously it's a compliment, right? Like, but
they mean it's a compliment.
They mean it's a compliment. Obviously, it's very well intended. I just think it's just a kind of word that we probably want to throw out, really.
Totally. Because yes, they mean it as a compliment, but that's also backhanded, isn't it? Because it's like, if like a Kate Moss style woman was wearing a dress, would you be like, that's really flattering on you?
No.
No.
And the purpose of that flattering means that they're saying you that dress makes you look smaller.
Yeah.
I think I found that a lot recently. So I've started just wearing dresses that I like.
Yeah, this is
and
a
like
cool
you
dress.
Said, thank you very much. It's from Simply Being, right?
Is it? I was going to ask, is it?
Yeah,
but like I've noticed my confidence, and Laura probably like attests to this. I've noticed my confidence has transformed since I started wearing what I want. I am a size 18 to 20. That if I wear a black dress with a purposely nicely put stripe, that's not going to make me look like a size 12. Like, so like I'm not going to hide in clothes. I'm fat. Here I am, but I'm just going to be fat in a like fabulous dress now.
Yeah.
So having more confidence in what you wear, wherever you are.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's so true that as well though, isn't it? It's like, you're not going to, you know, it's like with wearing makeup, like you're not going to look like a different person. No. It's just like, these things are fun. And
it's basically fun, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, like an expression, like self-expression and stuff that makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I remember that quote. Do you remember the quote that I butchered on stage? And it took me like five minutes. I went over it for 5 minutes and I was like, actually, sorry, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I did. Have you remembered it?
Yeah,
go on,
it.
It
just came to me now.
Yeah,
I'm nicer when I like my outfit.
Oh yeah, that's right? So good. I love that.
I'm like, it's so much. Like, it's so much nicer. When
yeah,
I,
you
when
wear
I feel
things
like
better,
this,
and you yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, love that.
That is so damn true.
And it took me a month.
And you've got your own clothing collection as well.
Yes.
So it's Light London, isn't it?
Yeah, so Light London came out last year and it was a lot of work, a lot harder than I ever imagined. And it was, we released swimwear at a time when no one was going away. So I was like, well, it's literally like one of the worst things we could have done. I was like, I don't want to buy a bikini.
Please.
For your house, maybe, I don't know.
For the bath.
Literally, that's how I had to take the photos, to like shoot the campaign images just like the shower.
I can imagine Dave and his partner just being like, wait.
Yeah, literally like, oh, should we try the street instead? I was like, oh, stand outside in a bikini. So it was a bit of a nightmare, but we got there and it did well. And the idea behind it was like, there is, do you know what? It was mostly because of the whole like, flattering thing, and basically like anyone who's over a certain size should be wearing typical like plus size things, like
with the pleated skirt.
And then it's always, you know, it's two separate collections. It's like normal size and then like plus size. And I was like, no, I want you know, the same style, the same collection, like everything is exactly the same. If you're a 6 up to 30, those are the sizes we do.
Love that so love. Much. Yeah. Can I tell you how refreshing that is? Yeah. Like, there is no, like, really, like, very few other brands doing that.
So we were going to ask you, do you think the high street is, like, inclusive of sizes? We know the answer to that. It's not.
Yeah, no.
But you're a brand new company. You're a small business who's opened up in the last, like, year, who is doing inclusive sizes from 6 to 30. You've done it.
And they're sustainable as well. Like, you're really on like eco stuff. Like, that's amazing.
What do the high street need to do that?
Do you know what pisses me off? Is people saying, oh, we're a small brand, so we can't do like you above can. A size 12. And I'm like, no, I know you can because we did
you've
it.
Done it.
And
yeah.
It's like really not that hard and it's not that expensive. Like, just, I think it's quite appalling actually that people like lean on that excuse because it's not an excuse. But I mean, I went on to Self Portrait. I was looking for like a day before wedding dress before night before the wedding, and I was like, "Oh, that dress is really nice." And I went to look on style sizes, and it went up to a 12.
Went up to a 12.
Went up to a 12. I was like, "Oh, I've made." Oh, I was like, "Oh, there must be a mistake. Hang
must
on.
Be sold out. Hold on."
Yeah. And I went to look on the other ones, and no, they don't go past the size 12.
Just look past the absolutely, size 12. Genuinely, in 2022, who's not going past the size 12?
Isn't it appalling?
It's shocking.
And absolutely also, shocking. What obviously winds me up is when you get XLs being a 14 or something like that.
Yeah,
that's not going to make you feel. That's a whole thing. Yeah. But that's not going to make you feel good if an XL is meant to be 14.
No, it's like with Zara, like, you know, like I only went in the other day, to be honest with you, for like not for content, but just because I've heard really obviously bad things. I haven't even been in this. It was probably like 14, 15. And it was awful. And I was just like, I left. And I was like, I refuse to make me feel bad about myself. But like, why is my money not good enough? Like, seriously, like, and why am I, was my body not good enough? Like, if you can dress skinny people, why can't you just dress fat people? Like, we all
bear in mind
need and deserve nice clothes and to feel good. And it really fucks me off, to be honest with you, that I can't stop on the high street anymore.
And the average dress size in the UK for women, I think, is still a 16.
Yeah.
So what is the high street
so
doing?
Yeah.
And small businesses that they're stopping, like, so it can be done. You've showed it can be done. So what does the high street need to do? Need to buck up.
It's because the fashion industry is so deeply fat phobic. Mm. And, you know, we've got all these campaigns and stuff and trying to show like body diversity. But yeah, there's still like some steps to be taken for sure. You know Trini Woodall.
Yeah, Trini Susanna,
She did a haul that someone sent me, a Zara haul, and she bought everything in a medium, and she couldn't even fit the trousers on. I was like, what? She's tiny.
And
so she can't fit into a medium at Zara. Like, what the hell? It's an indication of where the fashion industry is at. But that sounds really negative. And I feel like there are more brands, aren't there? Like more plus size brands that are making like proper clothes, not just like,
it's better.
Cover yourself up
so
in this.
Yeah.
It's like,
no more cold shoulders.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
What
no
were you saying? Cold shoulder and a butterfly print.
And like a moor and an Eiffel Tower and a bow and all of that. Oh, like, I don't want to wear that. I'm not 12.
No.
Fuck off.
No.
My 5-year-old niece doesn't want to wear that. She's more trendy than that. Yeah. No, I think there's definitely more, you know, more to be done. But you're right. Yeah. Like, you know, don't want to be.
But we're seeing a shift though. And that's what's really nice. And that's what's made my confidence grow is that I can, you know, I can't really go shopping on the high street now. I do have to do it online pretty much, but I can buy nice clothes that suit me, that fit me and all of that. And that's really good.
Yeah. So nice. But like, it's sad that
it has to happen that way.
Yeah. Then it should feel nice. Like, it shouldn't feel anything. It should just be like normal, you know? Everyone should just be able to go and like walk into a store and buy something that fits them. But like you said, like, why is your money not good enough?
Yeah. And I don't even mind paying a bit extra for fabric. I shouldn't probably have to really, but I don't even mind that. Like, just want to look nice. Like, don't give me a separate fat people section. Like, I don't want that.
Everyone else wears
two rails.
Yeah. And it's gross.
Yeah. Black, do you remember in Topshop, they did that, didn't they? They had like a plus section.
Oh my gosh.
That was like,
that's like the smoking section in the airport.
Cordoned, like, you go cordoned off. Like, cool.
Behind the
with the bats. Bats with the back wing tops. Yeah, lovely. Gross. One of the quotes that I love that you always talk about is like, all bodies are good bodies. And I think that's really powerful as well. Like, would you say that's like been a mantra of yours? Like something that you kind of...
I just remember seeing that years ago and being like, oh yeah, of course they are. It's just crazy to think that we were ever made to think otherwise.
I know, yeah.
Mad.
Yeah.
And even like, sorry, I keep going back to your podcast, but when we were on your podcast, we talked about the word fat, and you were talking about, you know, like fat bodies and stuff like that, and like, I must admit, like, it shocked me a little bit, like, and I was a bit like, because for me that word has always been like used as an insult and like thrown around, and it's always the first thing, like, if you ever get in a confrontation with a stranger, happened the other day in a car park, some bitch tried to get in my space, right, and I was like, very politely, like, oh, look, I'm really sorry, I don't know if you realize, but we were trying to get in, that first thing she called me was a fat, see you next Tuesday. Whatever, it just happens, right?
Madness.
Thank you so much, Karen. And Rochester. I took down your number plate, and I didn't really. For me, like, it's quite a triggering word, but I really love, although it did shock me, I'll just put it out there, to be honest. I wasn't offended by it.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you're just like, fat as an adjective. Like, do you know what I mean? I think we've been talking about this a lot. So you don't find it offensive?
I don't find it offensive because I think it's an adjective. I call myself fat because I think it's factually true. But I didn't grow up fat. I didn't grow up bigger. So I've never been called fat as an insult,
right,
even now.
Really, ever?
I don't think so.
I'm happy.
It's like, amazing, isn't it? Yeah. But I, you know, whether that's because, you know, I've just done that in my 30s and I'm very much like, get out of my face, but I've never had it as an insult, so that's why I'm fine with it,
right.
But I think getting to that point where we can reclaim that word, because it's not a bad thing. Being fat isn't bad.
Yeah. So I mean, this is something that I've grappled with, because as a person who's not fat, I'm like, do I have the right to call people fat? But I think that if we're truly going to get to a place where we realize that fat is not bad, and that fat is just a neutral thing, just like thin is, you know, and tall is and short is, then we just need to get comfortable with the word. But it comes down to consent, though. Like, I would never say to someone's face, like, you are fat.
No, absolutely not.
You know, I think it depends on people. And like you said, that's been used as a slur for so long, so it's still upsetting for a lot of people. But I think if we can just get used to the adjective, it just...
Yeah.
You know, and then it won't be able to be used as an insult anymore, because it'll just be like, you tall bitch, like, you know.
Oh, you really got me.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's if it just becomes commonplace and we all say it, like, you know, fat bodies, thin bodies, like, I just think then we'll just get to a place where, like, thin isn't good and fat isn't bad. Like, they're both just...
Just adjectives.
No, like, it's genuinely been something that I've really been thinking about a lot, like, trying to kind of like unlearn that being a nasty word and an insult, and like just using it as a descriptor. Like, I will use it about myself, but if someone calls me it, I find it offensive, but I think that's just historic. But I love the kind of idea of reclaiming it, so thank you.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. I do think about that sometimes, and I get a lot of messages about that, because I would just say on stories, like, fat bodies, thin bodies, and people are like, you know, people just take offense to it. And I do get it. Like, I really do get it. But I think for actual progression, like, we just need to be able to use the word.
Yeah. No, it makes
complete
sense. Oh,
let's come up with another word. Like, if, you know,
that
can describe fat bodies or people living in a bigger body. But yeah.
Some people are like, oh, people living with obesity. And it's a bit like, I can't be bothered, mate. Just come on. That's a long one.
Oh, my God.
I'm not disrespectful. If that's what you want to be referred to, that, like, I think it's an individual preference. But
I just
love the taking ownership of that word. And, like, I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, and I think, like, Did you ever watch that thing on, oh God, I can't remember, on Channel 4, where it was like 10 fat people lived in a house together?
Yes.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
And there was one woman who was really grappling with, you know, she...
I remember her.
She preferred to be called like obese and preferred to like use the term obesity. Mm. And I think it's just like, it's down to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like what you're comfortable with and what you're not. And then people were really trying hard to sort of get her away from that and being a little bit aggressive with it. And I was like, you have to remember that this is a lifetime of, you know, living as a person who has, you know, received insults and, you know...
Discrimination.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's up to them at the end of the day, you know. And if someone says to me, don't call me fat, I'm like, I will never call you fat.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's, you know,
totally,
it's,
yeah. We've got, I think it's on you. Respectful, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting that I think if it's the same woman I think you're talking about, her name's Sarah LeBrock, and she's she fights a lot for about ending the stigma around obesity. She was on a program, I don't know if you remember, it was on Sky, I think, like 10 years ago, and it was like called The Fight of My Life or something like that.
No.
And they had to lose like half their body weight in a year. And so she lost like...
Sounds healthy.
Yeah, sounds right. And which I think most of them did. It was, I don't know, like 10, 15 of them. And I was actually having a phone call with her the other day, and she said that she had put on all the weight. She put it on back on very quickly because obviously she would.
Yeah.
And she said that every single person that did that program had put it back on, and in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, just an interesting observation. I think she's like, some people are fat and some people are not, and it's not as black and white as well. Like, and we could eat the same thing and do the same amount of exercise, and we probably would still like, well, we'd all look different.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, we just need to accept, I think, that people are all different.
Like, body
just
diversity.
Stop talking about it as
like,
well.
It's just different, it's you just know. Different.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got four sisters and four of us are a similar size. And then the other one's like super skinny. She's just tiny. And that's just the way she is. And that's within the same family, you know, with the same
Yeah, exactly.
Parents.
Me and my sister, we're similar sizes, but she's 6 foot tall, legs up to her eyeballs. I'm 5'6", massive boobs, makes no sense. And we're completely different. We probably eat the same and we're completely different. And it goes back to what we always say is like the way you look is the least interesting thing about you. There's so much more going on about you and all your friends and all your family and everyone you work with than the way they look. So let's just not, we've got to move away
so
from this.
Much
we've
more.
Got to move away from the diet culture thing that we all grew up with. Just move on.
And also like not to get too into it, but as well, it feeds the patriarchy. The
yes! Fuck the patriarchy!
I have to say it. Thank you.
Thanks for saying it for me, because I was going to say that. But it does. It keeps us focused on what we look like, and it stops us from spending that time and energy on other, like, way more important...
Conquering the world.
Because we're too obsessed with like looking in the mirror. That's not our fault. That's just like the way we've been conditioned. But it's a tool of the patriarchy, like diet culture, just to keep us quiet, keep us obedient, keep us like focused on eating little calories.
Yeah. Be the little woman at home.
I know. It makes you angry, doesn't it?
It does.
And
like
angry.
The more you learn about diet culture as well, like I've found, the more angry it makes me.
So do you think, so we've obviously talked a lot about diet culture and the what it's done to all of us, like all three of us have been impacted by that. So I mean, this is a really like hard question, but how can we fight it? You were the one of the first people that I found on Instagram posting the kind of content that you do, and that has changed the way that I, you know, part of what you do is change the way that I think about everything. But how can we continue to fight diet culture, do you reckon?
So I think, like, my view on all of this, and this is why I create the content that I do, and a lot of people say to me, oh, but why are you sharing that? You're just perpetuating that message, you know, if I call out something negative. But I feel like nothing's going to get resolved if these things continue to go unquestioned and unchallenged, which they did for, like, all of the 90s, didn't they? Like we thought Jessica Simpson was fat.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
You know, so much of it, just like my parents' generation, they don't question anything and they're shocked by what we're questioning. And I think that if it just continues to operate in the shadows, then it's not going to get resolved. We're not going to be able to dismantle anything. So we've got to talk about it. And a lot of the stuff as well that I bring up is stuff that we have seen when we were growing up and internalised, and that's gone on to create our sense of self or shape how we see our bodies and how we see other people's bodies as well. So we've got to like fix all of that. The more we talk about diet culture, the more we call it, it's everywhere. Like the more we call it out and become aware of it, then the more able we are to see it and dismiss it rather than take it on and internalize any messages from it. And also we're able to heal from our past, you know, that those past messages that we've internalized. And then compassion. I always come back to compassion and self-compassion. I swear, like, I go on about it so much. I swear it's like the answer to most of the world's problems is like there isn't enough compassion. And the way we talk to ourselves is sometimes so shocking. And we do it again. It's like it goes unquestioned. It goes unchallenged. And I do think a good way to challenge this is to say, like, hang on, would I say this to like my sister or my mom or my friend? Yeah, like, yeah, would I say that? And if I wouldn't, then I probably shouldn't be saying it to myself, because why do you deserve it? If they don't deserve it, why do you deserve it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Easier said than done, but like it's so, so like really good.
Easier said
advice.
Than done.
Yeah. And advice to live by. I absolutely love that.
Oh, and that's important as well. Like you said, easier said than done. I feel like a lot of these, you see like little infographics on Instagram, like how to feel better about your body, 5 tips.
5 easy steps.
Yeah, like, here you go.
Like, 5 days to true happiness. Yeah.
We have been taught, like, especially women, to hate our bodies from the moment we become aware of the fact that they have an aesthetic. Like we've been made to feel like there's something wrong with them and that we need to change them. So this isn't going to happen overnight, but like, every little bit of progress that you can do or every little bit of work that you can make on this will eventually, it will all stack up to a place where, you know, you might not be like, hey, I love my body, like walk around naked, but you don't really need to be. Like, if you can just realize then that, you know, your body is the least interesting thing about you.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's just a lot more to life.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's such a good really nice. Thank you so much, Alex. Good. Like, that has just been an absolute dream. Thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Thanks. This has been my favourite podcast. I've loved it. So good.
Get that on quote, please. Thank you.
Testimonial.
It's that time in the podcast when we bring some love, even more laughter, and some positivity from our listeners with your On the Plus Side stories.
And today we're going to do something slightly cringy for us, because our producer has made us look through some of your amazing reviews on Apple Podcasts. Oh my God. They've literally had us smiling from ear to ear. I've teared up at a couple, but they've also had us in stitches as well, because I think people just get us, Laura. They just get us. So yes, Hans, please go and give us a 5-star review. Give us a good review, because it really helps boost our confidence.
It does, yeah. Thank you.
One I wanted to share was from Danny. So hi, Danny. We love you already. And she said, I need to make an admission. Brace yourselves. I'm 35 and I've never listened to a podcast before this, which we've actually found with quite a few people. And Go Love Yourself is the first one they've listened to. And she continued on with, Laura, I followed your journey for some time, saw you posting about the pod and thought I'd give it a go. And you have not disappointed me. Love, love, love. Can we be BFFs? Yes, Danny. Please
yes,
be our BFF.
Danny, we can. Oh, that's so lovely.
How nice is that?
We had this other review from Jonesy. She says, I'm not sure I can change the I am not worthy mindset after 50 years, but I am damn sure going to try.
Oh my God.
Go Jonesy.
Go Jonesy. Oh my God, that's amazing. And again, I will say, I've heard from a lot of women who have said that they're in their sort of 40s and 50s, specifically 50s, who are like, I wish that this podcast was available when I was your age and stuff. I think that's, those messages for me are the ones that mean the most, because it means that hopefully we're doing something good and people resonate. The whole point is that people resonated with it, and we're talking about things that people are thinking in their heads and not talking about, and we're talking about it. Go Jonesy, you are worthy.
Absolutely. And finally, let's end on this comment. So relatable. This is my favourite. So relatable. Not posh birds in straight bodies talking about self-love.
She just gets us.
Totally, in a nutshell.
That's literally
the G-Town bird and the Dartford bird. Chatting about wobbles and all sorts, and that means a lot, actually. I think there's quite a lot of people, Gwyneth Paltrow, talking about all this kind of self-love stuff, who are, I think, very very privileged bodies, and so it's nice that we are relatable, so thank you. That really did make us
I'm just dying at the not posh birds, like That's going to be, I think that should be on your Wikipedia page, just Laura Adlington, not a posh bed.
Not a posh bed.
I love that. That's so good. Okay, in fact, actually, can one of our lovely listeners please go and edit Laura's Wikipedia page and just put on not a posh bird? That would make my day.
I don't even have a Wikipedia page.
What?
I don't.
What?
And also, can I just say that I am still coming up as Rebecca Adlington's sister, the University of Mark. Literally, you Google me and it says Rebecca Adlington's sister, and that's all I get asked now in press interviews. It's like, how's your sister doing?
No, do they genuinely think? I mean, what if I...
Lauren, this will make you die. I had a comment the other day. It was from a troll, but it made me laugh so much. He said they thought that I was Rebecca Adlington. And it was the bikini picture that I posted. And they said, what a shame. And to think she was swimming just a few years ago. What a shame. Just really let herself go.
What the hell?
Honestly, when I tell you, I died.
So, yeah, how are your Olympic medals, Rebecca Adlington? Oh my god, that's so funny. No.
Oh, honestly, it cracked me up so much.
That's so stupid. Of all people to be compared to, Rebecca Adlington is an absolute queen. We love her, but also that's hilarious.
Oh, I know. It's just the fact that I can imagine them actually saying it out loud. It's like, oh, poor girl, to think she's in the Olympics just a few years ago.
You know that person has gone and told everyone they know and be like, oh God, did you see?
Have you seen the state of it, honestly?
Stop it, Nob. Oh, that is so my favourite thing ever. Oh, yeah, that's made my day. I don't even remember what we were talking about before that because that has absolutely floored me. Okay, right, someone's got to make you a Wikipedia page because you can't be known as someone's sister. You're my most famous friend. I need you to have a Wikipedia page so I can prove to people that you're my famous friend. There you go, listeners, that's one for you. And I'm going to check in next week and see if someone started it already.
Thank you so much for listening and we'll see you next week.
Love you, bye!
That was Go Love Yourself, brought to you by Simply Be.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.